It's February, so love is in the air, or at least on the walls of stationery stores and on the bulletin boards of elementary classrooms. This is a time of year when certain people seem particularly motivated to want to try to define and describe love. And perhaps no item has been more firmly linked to the use of metaphor than the topic of love. In song and in verse, a person might hear someone describe a love as being as deep as a river or as pure as gold, bright as the morning or warmth in the cold. But as earnestly as such statements might be made with respect to the love between human beings, they are never as true as when spoken about the love which God has for us. In fact, the Lord's is the love divine, all loves excelling, which cannot truly be equated with anything that is generated here on earth. Consider how the Bible describes the Lord's love in terms that really are beyond our ability to fully grasp. The psalmist, for example, wrote, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him." With respect to quantity, God's love is even more vast than space itself. And with respect to quality, it is also something very different from anything generated or expressed by fallen man. In one of the books that's used in our Greek classes, the author makes an observation historically which sheds some interesting light, I think, on a very familiar Bible passage, namely 1 John 3:1. That's where the Apostle John writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." A more familiar translation, perhaps, is the one found in New King James, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." ESV, "See what kind of love." New King James, "Behold what manner of love." NASB, "See how great a love." One can sense a bit of a challenge here for the translator in attempting to reflect properly the full meaning of the pronoun that precedes the word love. According to the scholar mentioned, that particular pronoun originally meant from what country? And because of that, he suggests that there might be benefit to retaining some of the historicity of that particular term in fully understanding what John is saying here. He suggests translating it as otherworldly, so that the passage would read, "See what otherworldly love the Father has shown to us." So assuming his analysis is correct, what John seems to be saying here is the love that God has for us is truly, truly unique, different from and far superior to any kind of love that one human being can have for another, far different from anything that is generated here on earth. Ever since the fall into sin, of course, everything in the world, every atom in creation, exists in a completely deflated state. With the loss of righteousness came the loss of perfection, the loss of purity, the loss of completeness, which means that nothing earthborn or earthbound can ever be perfect. And that applies to everything we might generate, because everything that we come up with is earthbound or earthborn, including emotions. Sometimes in an effort to communicate that we think something is really extraordinarily good, we might say, that is out of this world. Perhaps you saw the recent Menards billboard, which showed various colors of paint, and the slogan, I think, was, "A paint selection which is out of this world." Well, it's not. Nothing we can come up with is able to rise above the sin-tainted state that covers the globe, even our love. But God is different, as is his love. It is otherworldly. It is out of this world. Consider what we so often refer to as love. It's often that feeling of fondness for someone who has perhaps shown favor or kindness or some sort of pleasurable aspect in some way. Or it's that feeling of fondness which is the result of anticipating something that someone else might do for us. And true to the feeble ways in which we handle things, such feelings are subject to change as the relationships change. But how different with God. His love for us has remained constant, true, vibrant, even though he has been summarily rejected by the human race, of which we are very much a part. Far from describing us as endearing and delightful and a natural draw for a holy God, Scripture points out that by nature we were rebellious, refractory, and relentless in our rejection of him. It speaks of us as being God's enemies, filled with animosity, and deserving only his judgment. Nor was there anything that the Lord could possibly expect to gain from us. He already possessed all things and had hosts and hosts of angels surrounding him to serve him. Nevertheless, John says that that which he feels for us is an otherworldly love. Take a look, he says. See, behold. And how does one look at an emotion? How do we look at God's love? By watching it in action. Take a look at this otherworldly love the Father has shown to us, that we should be called children of God. On Tuesday, we were reminded what the Scriptures say about our original condition, that we were by nature children of wrath. We deserved only God's punishment, but somehow those who deserved only to receive the Lord's outpouring of anger have nevertheless become those who receive only God's blessing. Somehow we children of wrath have become the children of God. And that somehow, of course, is Jesus. God's wrath had to go somewhere. His righteous anger over sin had to be unleashed on guilty humanity in some way. And so his Son stepped in the line of fire to take that on in our place. We, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. As a result of sending his Son to take our place and paying for our sins, God is able to declare children of wrath now to be his adopted own. He has lovingly established the close and caring relationship of a parent and a child between himself and every believer. And with the establishment of that relationship come all the rights and privileges of being cherished children. The assurance of having our needs addressed, of having our petitions heard, of having our interests under control, and finally of receiving an inheritance. Yes, love is in the air, for God is everywhere, revealing his otherworldly love in the person of his Son, through whom he has reconciled all things to himself and has made us heirs of salvation. By the way, if you ever receive an email from one of the pastors in the CLC, the frequent template seen at the end of the letters will look familiar. Following his name, it often says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. How wonderfully otherworldly. This love is expressed also in the form of hymn 760, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. 760, 1, 4, and 5.